Well, hallelujah and praise him, bless his holy name. We are on Exodus chapter 10, and this is Walk It Out with Leah McCray. It is good to have you here. We are transforming our bodies as we transform our minds through the Word of God. And we are in Exodus chapter 10 today. And so get on your treadmills, get your weights going. If you're doing Pilates or whatever it is, get your mat out. Let's go. It is time to delve into the Word and to start transforming our bodies while we transform our minds through the Word of God. Amen. So as always, we're going to open up in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this time together. Lord, we ask that you would bless this time, Father. We ask that you would give us revelation, Lord, as we delve into your Word, as we seek to get a rhema word from you, God, through this written word, through your Word, as we read and we allow you to speak into our spirits, Lord. We just thank you for what you will reveal, Father. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we love you. Ask for forgiveness of sin, Father. And we thank you that the blood has cleansed us and brought us close to you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let's get started. We are, again, I said we're in Exodus, right? Starting with Exodus chapter 10, verse 1. I'm reading from the King James translation today. I know in the past, a lot I've been reading from the New Living Translation, and we're going to go back and forth. I want to even tie in the Message translation probably, but right now I just feel led to read out of the King James. So bear with the old English, guys, but you know, let's just hear what thus saith the Lord. So verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if you refuse to let my people go, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen, since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Now look at this. This is how stubborn Pharaoh is, and how hard his heart is. And now I realize, okay, God said that he was going to harden his heart, but what he's really doing is allowing this man's own obstinance and refusal to hear God and to yield to God to come to fruition, you know. And God is using him. God is using him for his glory. Amen. So, but even his own troops, his own people are pleading with him. Why are you doing this? Give it up. I mean, oh, give it up and let us live. Let us live in peace. Let us rebuild what has been destroyed. Can't you see that we are no match for this God? And if you think about it, just think how in the natural, you know, sometimes maybe you've been with people, or maybe you were the one that kept, that just refused to turn away from a decision or from anger or from something, you know, that you just had it set in your heart that no, it's going to be my way. I'm getting this thing. I'm doing this, whatever it is. And that course is bringing about destruction, you know, for you or for whoever this person is that you are with. And it can be seen by everyone. except the person that is continually refusing to change his mind about a situation. So, this just makes it so plain. You know, sometimes people will just try and tell you, stop doing that. Why are you doing it? Can't you see that this is hurting you? Or maybe you're the one telling someone else that. But often when you're in the throes of selfishness or of what you want, you know, and that's all you can see, kind of like a blind rage, you just can't see the destruction that's going on in your own life or in those around you. So that's just a very good example of how that can happen. All right, so verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts, and the locusts went over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they before them. There were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. Okay, so this, so the locusts that came upon this land, the judgment that fell was like none seen before. Amen, because when God does a thing, he does a thing. So verse 15, for they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left, and there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs or the field, though all the land of Egypt, through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. Wow. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. There's that number 3 again. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Wow, look at the difference again. Goshen, look at the difference between the children of God and the children of darkness. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. See, again, you know, God said, this is how I want this to happen. You're going to let them all go. But Pharaoh is saying, first he says no. Then he says, okay, you can go, a few of you. Then he says, okay, you and your kids can go, just leave the herds. You know, no, it's going to be the way God says or no way. And that's how we do sometimes. You know, we try and bargain with God, or,
You know, he wants it all. He wants every part of us. He wants us to not compromise with sin, to not have something in our closet, to not have one hand in holiness and another hand in the world. No, no, God is requiring everything of us, everything. And the thing about that is, once we give it, we realize that what we have gained in return is so much better than what we think we may have lost, that there's no comparison. But that is born through, but that knowledge is born through obedience, is born through the experience of actually trading our sorrows. Because, you know, our sorrows can look like joy to us. I mean, what we think is giving us happiness and is giving us fulfillment, is, but there's really an emptiness inside, and we don't equate the two. You know, we don't understand that what we think is fulfilling us, that we need to trade that for what God wants to give us, and then we will truly know joy and truly know fulfillment. Hallelujah. That came straight from the Holy Ghost, because I didn't even mean to talk about that. But that is just, God wants us to trade it away. Don't bargain. Don't bargain. Don't try and bargain with God. Don't try and hold on to something. Don't try and say, okay, well, let me propose this. Don't come back with your own proposal. Just do it. Just follow God. I hear you, Holy Ghost. I'm preaching to myself. Amen. Don't try and have your own idea of how something should go, or what you should give God. Give him all that he requires. Give him all that he asks. And the return is going to blow your mind. Amen. The return is amazing, not only in the relationship that you have with him and the closeness that that brings, and just following God and just being in complete alignment with him, but also in the harvest, in the natural. In the natural, it's not just spiritual. God wants to bless us in the natural as well, but it starts in the spirit. Everything starts in the spirit. Everything that is seen is made from what is unseen. Amen? Oh, goodness. Come on. We got to keep going. Hallelujah. So, going back to verse 25. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. So he's telling Pharaoh, no, we can't leave our cattle. We have to take them with us because they are a part of our worship. You know, we're going to offer our worship to our God, and we need to have our cattle. So he says, verse 26, our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we get there, till we come hither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me. Take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. He didn't know he was prophesying. He was prophesying that, no, he was going to die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. My goodness, my goodness. Whew, so that is the end of chapter 10. So we are going to scoot on. We still have about 15 minutes left. So we're going to move on to Exodus 10. I'm sorry, Exodus 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 1, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Now remember, after we talk about these plagues, after we finish this, we're going to talk about how each plague coincided with the God of Egypt. How, you know, this wasn't just happenstance, or just God didn't just pick these judgments just, you know, willy-nilly. You know, there is something that's spiritual that he is also saying with these judgments. We're going to talk about that. So he says, again, in the verse 1, let's just read verse 1 again. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out altogether. He said he's going to be so defeated that not only is he going to let you go, he's going to put you out. Amen. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Now remember how Moses was so afraid to go. And he said, nobody's going to listen to me. You know, I can't speak. I can't talk right. Remember that? That was his vision of himself. But we just read that Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight, in the eyes of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight, in the eyes of the people. God will elevate you. God will cause you to grow in esteem in the sight, in the eyes of other people. Don't worry about what you think you can do, because it's not about what you can do. It's about what God is going to do through you, and he will elevate you. He says that he exalts the humble, and we know that God calls Moses the most humble man, his most humble servant, right? So God will exalt you. So stay humble. Stay walking in humility. Don't be fearful. Don't think that what God is calling you to do, that it can't be done. It can be done through you, not by you, because it's not about you, but through you. And we need to have that vision. We need to have that understanding, because then God will exalt you in the presence of your enemies. He will have them. He will have you be exalted in their eyes. So it's not something that we have to do. And it's not about what we can do. So remember that about Moses. You know, when you think, when God gives you a word, or he drops something in your spirit telling you what you're going to be doing on behalf of him, you know, or he just gives you a vision of your future, and it may look impossible. God, me? How can I do this? Well, that's exactly why he chose you, you know, because you know you can't do it, but then don't err on the side of trying to get out of it. You know, receive it, knowing that God is going to equip you. He's going to give you everything you need to fulfill that. And he's going to exalt you. He's going to raise you up in the sight of people. Amen. So hallelujah. So this is such a good lesson that God has given us in so many areas right here in Exodus. In the Old Testament, that people don't even want to read anymore. That they say, well, it's not for us now. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, there's so much in the Old Testament. All of God's word is relevant, and it's useful, it's expedient. He says it's alive, it's anointed. Amen. And the Old Testament is Jesus concealed, right? So we see him working all through this book. So, amen. All right, so let's get back. Ooh, hallelujah. So Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, while from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the male, and all the firstborn of beasts. Now, as I'm reading this, it's a quickening in my spirit just about how Jesus, you know, he is the firstborn among many brethren. He's the firstborn among us. And he was also the first to die. He was the first to die for the first and really the only to die for our sins. But he was the firstborn. And as these firstborn are going to be killed because of disobedience, our firstborn, our big brother and our Savior, he gave his life. He gave his life for our disobedience. What a contrast. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Verse 6, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord, listen to this, how that the Lord makes a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Putting that in today's language, how the Lord makes a difference between his people, the kingdom people, the sage people, and the world, and those who embrace the devil, you know, those who don't believe. How he makes a difference between believers and non-believers. Amen? Wow. Verse 8, and all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. My goodness. Hallelujah. And that's the end of chapter 11. You know what? We got just a few more minutes. We're about to go into cool down, but I feel like we can't stop here. Let's move on to Exodus 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Hallelujah. Listen, this is, he's talking about, okay, so this is happening in the month we're in right now, the month of Elul. Wait, hold on. I got to make sure. Tishrei is the first month, is the new year, I believe, on the civil calendar, not the spiritual. I believe Nisan is. So I'm going to put a pin in that, and we're going to go back and discuss that later. But he says this month, okay, but anyway, he's telling them, this month that they're going out in is going to be the first month on the calendar year for them. God has appointed this time. God has set this calendar date. This now is the, okay, whatever calendar they were on before, God says this now shall be the first month because I'm setting you free. I'm making you free this month, in this month. I'm releasing you. Okay, so this is going to be the first month for you. He says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take thee to them, every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count, your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Now remember, now guys, think spiritually here. Think going forward. Think going forward to Jesus, the Lamb of God, how he is our sacrifice. Think about Jesus as you're listening to this, to these scriptures, verses right here. Your lamb shall be without blemish as Jesus was, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door of the post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat of it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Amen. Amen. I just answered my own question. This is Passover time. So, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now this was done during Passover, and Jesus also was crucified during Passover. Look at God. Look at how, oh my goodness, just look at the majesty of our Lord, of our Father. My. Jesus, our Lamb, also crucified during Passover, which allows us to pass from death to life, to pass over from sin to righteousness. My goodness. Thank you, Father. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt, my goodness, when judgment falls, when God is looking at us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the blood of Jesus and passes over. His judgment passes over us. It passes over us because the blood is covering us, because we have applied the blood of Jesus when we received him. Oh my goodness, don't you see the beauty? Oh my goodness, the beauty in this. Hallelujah. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. Okay, we're in cool down. We got like 2 minutes, guys. Whew. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month of the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. Kill the Passover lamb. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood, and that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts of the door, he will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Those who practice the Jewish faith are still doing that today. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what do you mean by this service? They shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered or saved our homes. And the people bowed their head in worship. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and your children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks, your herds, as you have said, and be gone. And bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of their land in haste. For they said, "We be all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in the clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord God gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. That's another verse that's not in here if you're following, or you don't exactly know what's in the word, and that's okay. But that is another part in scripture, and that's what God has said, and we see this right here. Back to verse 37. And my treadmill stopped. I know we're done, but we're just going to finish up this chapter. Just a few more verses. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children, and a mixed multitude. Listen to this, a mixed multitude. So it wasn't just Israel now. These were people also who were not Israel, but who chose to believe in God. So here again is a picture of the future, is a picture of what God always had in mind, right? That it's Jew and Gentile, that kingdom. Here's a picture of kingdom all the way back in Exodus. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt deliverance. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover, that shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when they have circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it." And if you're thinking spiritual and new covenant, is circumcision of the heart. "And he shall be as one that is born in the land." Circumcise your heart. Receive Jesus. You are just like one that was born in the land. Listen to that. You know, you're grafted in. Listen to this language in the Old Testament, in the second book of the Bible, that is foretelling what is going to happen in the new covenant when Jesus comes. My goodness. 49. "One law shall be..." Did I skip anything? "And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat of it." That's important. "For if you have not been circumcised in your heart, if you have not cut off that flesh, that heart of flesh, that heart of rebellion, and received Jesus, you cannot eat the Lord's Supper. You shall not be one with him." My goodness. 49, "One law shall be to him that is home born, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies." Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the revelation that have come from reading this word. Father, we just bless you in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord God, that you would lead us and guide us this day, that you would allow us to see plainly, Lord God. Let us see, Father, what you see. Let us do what we see you do, and let us speak only what we hear you speak. We love you. We thank you that we are a blessed people. We are prosperous. We are mighty because we are in Christ and Christ is in you. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.